It's time for Senior Talk with Carol Higgins Taylor, a show designed with seniors in mind. Carol discusses everything from Social Security to senior housing, medication to Medicare, and so much more. And now, your award-winning host, Carol Higgins Taylor.
Hi, and thank you for joining me today for this episode of Senior Talk. Today, we are discussing a scam involving Bitcoin. For those of you who don't know, Bitcoin is a digital currency, also known as cryptocurrency, that allows people to send value to each other online without a bank or central authority. No government or institution controls it. Transactions are verified by a global network of computers. If you don't really understand this and how it works, you are not alone, which makes it easier for scammers to take advantage of people. And Mainers have been victimized and have lost to third-party scammers through kiosks that look similar to ATM machines, and they're everywhere. They're grocery stores and convenience stores, gas stations, and they're operated by Bitcoin Depot. There is good news on this front. They could soon be able to recover their funds. We want to make it clear we are not in any way saying that Bitcoin in and of itself is a scam. We are not saying that. What we are saying is that scammers are using people's lack of knowledge and the lack of regulation and all the things that are involved in cryptocurrency. Scammers are using this to enormous capacity to bilk people out of their funds. That's what we're saying. Today, we are hearing from a very brave gentleman, Mike Drake. He's willing to tell his story to warn others. He was scammed and lost a significant amount of money. We're hoping he will get that back, but we don't know. And Jane Marcheson, one of my favorites, I'm sure yours too. She's the communications director with AARP, senior communications director. And she is, AARP is has joined the fight to stop criminals from stealing money through cryptocurrency kiosks. Thank you both so much for being here. Michael, I'm going to start with you. How did you get involved with this scam? Did you know what cryptocurrency was prior to being involved in this? How did this occur?
No, I knew nothing about cryptocurrency. It was just, and I don't know how the crooks got my cell phone number. So they had to do some background, to get them started. And I was just, it sounded, well, the sheriff's office has said over and over, now, these guys are good.
They are good. So walk me through what happened. How did this start? You got a phone call, so you answered the phone, and then what happened?
Okay. I answered the phone, and there was a gentleman on the phone who said that he was from the fraud department at my bank. And it says, let me just check here. It says there's been 57 hacks in the last 5 days, and my accounts were at risk. So, okay, now you got my attention.
What did he instruct you to do?
Okay. What he instructed me to do is go to my bank, withdraw cash. And that means $100 bills.
Okay. And how much did he tell you to take out?
Well, I'm trying to remember exactly what he said. He had a number, and it was 20,000 and something.
Okay. So $20,000 in $100 bills. Mm-hmm. And so you went to the bank, you walked up to the teller, and you did this.
Right.
Did anyone ask you, that's a lot of money in small bills at the bank?
No, it's amazing. And the perpetrator told me to tell the bank folks that Was it now? I was dealing with a contractor, and the contractor only wanted to deal in cash.
Okay. And you were you still on the phone with this person that you thought was really from the fraud division, or had you hung up at that point and went to the bank on your own?
I never hung up. It was constant. I mean, I had that cell phone in my hand the whole time, whether or not I was at the bank or walking or in the car.
So you took out the money. Now you've got your 20,000 and change in hand. What happened then? What did they tell you to do with the money?
Well, I got instructions from the fraudster where to go, and I
Okay.
gave me directions, where do you need to go? And okay, now you're there, go in the building and look for this
Kiosk?
kiosk.
Was it
Thank
the Bitcoin kiosk? So they wanted you, they and told you, you had to. I want to make sure I understand. They told you to take your money and go to a specific location where there is a Bitcoin kiosk and put that money in there. They wanted you to change your money into Bitcoin. Is that right?
That's correct.
Did they tell you why Bitcoin?
No. Only that at the beginning, the man on the phone said, this is affecting more people, and could you give us a hand trying to catch this guy? And I said, yeah, but that's me always trying to help somebody.
Right. So they hooked you by trying to enlist your help to protect other people, which has to be said, you're still doing by telling your story. So that's impressive. And thank you for that. So now you're at the location with all of your money in hand, and you're standing in front of one of the kiosks that looks like an ATM, but it's a Bitcoin depot situation. And you just, what do? You just start plugging money in. $20,000 at a, what did you say, $100 at a time? They wanted 100s. That had to take some time.
Oh yes. I had, well, first of all, the perpetrator coached me to set up an account on Bitcoin before I put any cash in. And what I didn't realize was he was going to set up an account for him, not me.
Okay.
Because you really can't tell when you're looking at the machine. So I was just going along with the flow.
So you
And
did everything he told you to do.
yes.
Why, when you got this, did you have any inkling at all that something was amiss and you were just so afraid that your accounts had been hacked, or were you? Because he said he was with a fraud division, you believed that.
I believed him.
Did I, when we did the pre-interview, I know you mentioned that he also told you not to tell the bank because he said the bank was in on it and you couldn't trust anybody at the bank, which is why you did not say anything or ask for the bank manager or ask for help. Plus, he's on the phone with you at the time, and you don't know where these people are either. That's the other thing. They could be calling from the next town over, or they could be calling from China. You don't know where they are because they're on the phone. So you're standing at the kiosk, and you just start putting money in. Are there other people around? Is anybody watching you do this?
Well, th there are other people. It's a grocery store or the, so, you know, there's some people just doing that kind of thing. So I don't have anybody, you know, right over my shoulder. So I'm just there, just, you know, sticking cash in and,
How long did this take for you to add? Was it 20s or hundreds that they asked you to take out?
hundreds.
Hundreds, right. So how long did it take you to put in $20,000 and change in $100 bills? That had to have taken forever.
Yes, it was ours. And this is probably part of their strategy. I had not eaten all day. So at by the end of this phase, I was really getting a weak. And at the end, I actually collapsed on the floor.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
That's the perfect place to stop. I want to hear more about that. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will hear the end of Mike's story and what happened to him after he collapsed while still on the phone with the fraudsters. Stay with us. We're going to be right back right after this. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk, talking with Mike Drake, who, when we left, had just collapsed on the floor in front of the Bitcoin kiosk, having pumped $20,000 in 100s for hours into that machine. So now you have collapsed on the floor because you haven't eaten all day,
Right.
even though it's a convenience store and there was food available, but the scammer kept you on the phone. What happened then? Did they call an ambulance? Was anybody concerned? And how old are you? Can I ask you that?
Sure, I'm 78.
78. So a 78-year-old man collapses on the floor, then what happened?
Well, luckily, some do-gooders spotted me go down. And these guys came over and picked me up off the floor and eventually got me, you know, back to my car, not right away, but they reacted to me going down. And as you say, this was a great strategy on the part of the criminals because not only am I tired standing in front of this machine for hours, I haven't eaten anything all day.
At any point, did you think to just hang up, or were you that terrified? Did they have you in such a state that you were sure that all of your accounts were in danger? And now
Yes.
you're exhausted too, so you're
Right.
not thinking clearly. All right. I want to get to Jane about how prevalent this is. Boy, AARP is right on this, as they are all scam issues, but this is much bigger than I would have suspected. Jane, talk to me about what's happening in this state involving crypto kiosks, and Bitcoin is not the only one. It's just the one that we're focusing on right now. Talk to me about what AARP is doing and how prevalent this is. I think people will be surprised.
Well, unfortunately, Carol, it is very prevalent. There's a huge wave of these types of scams that are happening all over the country, and Maine is no exception. And older adults are, in fact, disproportionately targeted in fraud and scams using cryptocurrency kiosks. And it's important to remember, too, that unlike traditional bank ATMs, crypto ATMs, such as the one that Mike was interacting with, are largely unregulated. So it's easy for criminals to move large amounts of money. And once the money's gone, it's especially difficult to trace. But just to give you a couple of numbers about what's happening here in Maine, in 2024, the FBI received over 429 complaints involving crypto kiosks just in Maine alone. And Maine has reported over 17 million in stolen funds. It's a huge amount of money in a very short amount of
And
time.
that's just Maine.
Correct. That is just Maine. And over 85% of the theft losses in cryptocurrency kiosk fraud that we're talking about here were experienced by adults 60 plus.
So, what is AARP doing to combat this? Because this is, I think, it's over the country, 24 states have taken action. Maine is one of them. And more than $246 million a year is lost through cryptocurrency kiosk scams. What's AARP doing? You've taken up this fight.
Yes, we certainly have taken up this fight. So, one thing, of course, is that most states have wonderful speakers bureau and other ways that we can educate the public. So we've added a lot more information to our presentations about the risks of these kiosk scams, these crypto kiosk scams, and we're also advocating for common sense safeguards, like providing a paper receipt for every transaction that comes along. So let me get you into one thought here, though, about something that we really worked hard on last year, which was to fight for a passage of particular legislation right here in Maine. We supported very strongly this legislation because it requires licensing of cryptocurrency kiosk operators in the state. It clearly displays the fees and exchange rates that are being charged, implements daily transaction limits. So what happened to Mike wouldn't be able to happen. You wouldn't be able to be transacting so much money at any one time like that. They're also going to be posting fraud warning notices and clarifying steps people should take if they suspect fraudulent activity. And then, as I mentioned earlier, we are requiring printing receipts with relevant transactional information. And that's important because it allows law enforcement to investigate immediately. It's not just gone and you don't have anything to show for the money that you put into the machine.
We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to find out what Mike did after he was piled back into his car and his next step. Stay with us. We'll be right back right after this. Hi, we're back discussing Bitcoin scams. Mike, so now we have you on the floor. Good Samaritans have helped you up, and they've piled you into your car, and you drive home. When did you. When you're in the car driving home, now you're exhausted and you're hungry and you've just had a collapse, which can leave you kind of disoriented anyway. When did you realize that this was a scam and that maybe you should not have plugged $20,000 into this machine? And what was your next step? And I know that you did contact AARP, so walk me through, because they have the Fraud Watch Network, which is extraordinary. Walk me through what happened on the drive home and the next day.
Well, I think it came to me while I was driving, because I had some time to think without this guy on the phone.
Because when you collapsed, he hung up, right? Is that right? You hung up the phone or he hung up when you collapsed? Okay. So now you're by yourself without this guy in your ear in the car, realizing, what have I just done? Is that accurate? Okay, go ahead.
So I finally started thinking about this and how it didn't make sense. And I typically think of myself as a pretty intelligent individual. And I couldn't believe that I would have fallen for something like this.
Well,
But
they're very good. They're very good at what they do.
they
So,
are.
what did you do next?
Okay. So my next phase was starting to notify people, including the sheriff's department, where I work with a great guy there, a detective. And I notified the FBI and the Maine Attorney General's office. So every place that in fact AARP suggested, that's what I did. I went by the book And just to get the word out.
Did you contact the bank at all and say, I just withdrew money and I for a scam?
Yes.
And what was their reaction?
Not much.
Jane, once he realized that he was scammed, did AARP do for him, and what should someone do when this happens?
Well, this is where I think AARP can really help. We have incredible victim support services for victims of these crimes. And make no mistake, this is a crime. This was not Mike's fault. These are professional criminals. They do this day in and day out. And this is where AARP can really wrap our arms around you and help you take the necessary next steps, including placing a freeze on your credit report, which I know we've talked about before on the show. And certainly taking the steps that Mike did as he's described. I mean, he did everything. He called the police, he called the sheriff's office, he called the bank, he set up all the safeguards, and that's exactly what you should do. And then the other thing that we want to just mention here is that the main consumer credit protection office has also set up a way for people who think they may have been scammed through Bitcoin transactions to file a complaint. There have been so many problems in this regard that there's actually been action to help people get their money back. There's no guarantees here, but it's worth taking the time to try because it can help recover up to 1.9 million across the state from Mainers who were unfortunately victims of these crimes. And if you would like to file a complaint, all you need to do is contact the Maine Consumer Credit Protection Bureau. Their number is 1-800-332-8529. Again, that's 1-800-332-8529. Or you could also simply go to their website. That's the Maine Consumer Credit Protection. And just go to their website, and they've got piles of information. You can easily apply for those funds online.
And Jane, while we're giving out numbers, give me the FraudWatch network phone number and the website that people can go to, because I'm sure the credit protection information is on there as well.
Yes, that is absolutely correct. So the AARP Fraud Watch Network, the website is aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork.
Where do things stand with you now? We're almost out of time, but where do you stand right now with this?
Well, I'm waiting on a word if I'm going to get. I think I'm going to get some sort of refund. It all depends on how much. And I told the person I was working with. I said, anything is better than nothing.
That's true. So, do you think that you will be able to recover some of your funds?
Yes, I'm
All
confident.
right. Excellent. Well, that's good news. And again, we are almost out of time. 877-908-3360. 877-908-3360. Mike, I want to thank you again for being so brave and telling your story. When something like this happens, it's so easy to hide and not want to tell anyone because of the embarrassment factor. And the fact that you realize you want to help people, that you did nothing wrong, because these people are pros and they had you, they said everything right to get you hooked. So I really appreciate you telling your story. Jane, the information that you help compile for the Fraud Watch Network is just extraordinary and is so helpful to so many people. So thank you for that. Again, aarp.org/fraudwatchnetwork, and the Fraud Watch number is 1-877-908-3360. Thank you both very much. That's it for me. This is Senior Talk. Thank you so much for listening. I hope that we were helpful. If you get a call, do not fall for this.